By my count, it has been 112 days since the last time we gathered in this sanctuary for a worship service in person. 112 days. And today we are coming back together, some of us. Now, that doesn't mean that our journey through this particular season is over with, of course. But I know that many of us have looked forward to this day in particular as one important step that we can mark along that way. And so today I have the privilege of addressing some in person and some online, and I've done so thoughtfully and prayerfully. Before, I just want to say a couple of things before I say a couple of things. Before I get into the message today, there's four groups of people that I just specifically and publicly want to acknowledge right now. Again, bearing in mind that we aren't under the impression that today marks the end of anything in particular, but certainly an important marker point on this journey. Today would be a good time just for me to publicly acknowledge. I wanted to say a big thank you to our staff. Pastor Rachel, to Pastor Garrett, to Kelly Greco, our office administrator, and to Jim Cahall, who serves in an adjunct capacity with us. About 4 months ago, every member of the church staff, more or less overnight, got a brand new job description. And they have just done a tremendous job of waking up every morning and trying to figure out how the world changed in the last 12 hours. And responding accordingly. And they've been a support to me, they've been an encouragement, they've been counsel to me, but I don't fully know, and certainly none of us fully know the many ways in which they have just taken on new responsibilities and done them with excellence. It's just been a tremendous, tremendous thing. I love my church, and those guys are one of the big reasons why. Another group that I want to recognize publicly and just put you guys on notice so that you know is our deacons. So Shannon Saunders and Maria Black and Dawn Keach and Bob D'Onofrio. The deacons have continued to meet throughout the last several months. We've had to do so remotely sometimes. More recently, we've been doing some in-person meetings with appropriate protocol. The deacons have scheduled extra meetings because there's been a lot of decisions that have needed to be made. And outside of those meetings, each of them has done research. They've done just a lot of work to bring to our conversations so that we're ready to go with what we need to do. They have challenged me. They have kept me accountable to the things that we need to be doing to serve you well for a church. And I love my deacons. I love my deacons. And so if you see a deacon today, socially distance, hug them, okay? They've done a great job and they've served you incredibly well. I said there's four groups. The third group is many of you guys know that I have, we put together a council of healthcare professionals that are part of this church. So there was a team of HRCC members that included 3 doctors and 6 nurses. You guys probably didn't know we had that many healthcare professionals here. We're ready to open a clinic, I'm telling you right now. But that team was incredibly helpful to me in making some of the decisions, especially in the last month or so as we look towards the possibility of more in-person ministry. Many of them met in person with me several weeks ago. Some who were unable to do that communicated with me electronically. They also did research. I have data that they sent. They're just really, really good at what they do. And it was that group that helped us determine the best way forward for activities like what we're here for today. It was their consensus that informed our decisions, not only about when to, but also how to reintroduce in-person ministry. And I just believe the Bible says that the Spirit gives us in our church, in our local church, people with gifts for use for the edification of the body. And for far too long, we thought that meant pastors and worship leaders. And in this season, it meant doctors and nurses, and they have just served incredibly well. So thank you to you guys. And then the fourth group that I want to publicly acknowledge today is you, the congregation. For the last 112 days for the last 4 months or so, you guys have in many, many ways demonstrated the love and the ministry of Jesus Christ to and for his people. And, you know, the too many times to count, if I would reach out to you by a phone call or by an email, the report that I was getting was, yeah, I'm doing good. Let me tell you who I've been in touch with. Let me tell you who I've loved, who I've served. Pastor, here's who I'm praying for this week. You've made me incredibly proud to be your pastor. And I want to thank you for the many ways in which that has been expressed. And I want to tell you, look, now the bar is a little higher. I'm going to expect that out of you going forward. I also want to say this to you, and this is to all members of the HRCC family. These last 4 months have been incredibly difficult in so many ways for all of us. But from a ministry perspective, when you're a pastor, there's been so many things that I trained for as a young pastor, so many things that I learned in seminary, so many things that I've picked up on the job through the year that just went out the window last March in terms of how to do ministry. And so there's been a lot that we've had to just kind of make up, like a lot of other churches in the area, kind of one day at a time, figure out what we need to do. And I'm grateful that God gives us wisdom for seasons like that. I'm grateful that we didn't have to just, you know, shoot blind and not know what we were doing. We serve a God who prepares and equips and informs and guides. And that has been a huge part of what's happened in the last 4 months. But with that, I also want to acknowledge that there are plenty of days when I woke up as a pastor and I looked at the decisions we made yesterday or the things that we did the day before, and I felt like, you know what, we didn't get it right. We didn't get it right. It's just the nature of doing what we've had to do. And I just want to let you know publicly that I apologize for the times that maybe we didn't care for you the best way we could have. I want to apologize for the times. I know that there were gaps. I know that there were things that were overlooked. I know that there were times when maybe as an individual you could have used some support from your church family. Some of those instances I probably don't know about, but I would like you to know that on behalf of the staff, on behalf of the other leaders in this church, we just submit ourselves to you for that. Forgive us for the times when we overlooked what we should have seen, and help us to serve you well. If there's anything about what's happened in the last 4 months, or anything about what's happening right now that you have any questions about, or if you just want to dialogue about it, please come to me, come to one of the other staff members, and let us know. You guys, this church, you have served us and blessed us so well during this time, and I'm just grateful for it. And it's my desire to be able to do the same for you. So thank you for that. And since you didn't applaud for any of the first three groups, why don't you applaud for yourself right now? I want to thank you. I want to begin this morning's message by telling a great and fanciful story. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to create division in the church right now, which I think is the appropriate way to begin any sermon. Thank you. How many, by a show of hands, have ever made a mixtape? Okay, we've got some ageism going on in the room here. Okay. I want to, for those, particularly those who are too young to have any idea what I just said, okay, I want to show you a great and fanciful, wonderful thing here. This is an audio cassette tape, okay? And I think, yeah, I have a pen here. Only some of us know how these things are related, and no, it's not so you can write on it, okay? Right. Rewind, I already heard it. This is a thing called an audio cassette tape. If you've never seen one, you can probably see it in the museum when they open up. But for years and years, and look, if you're 50 or over, don't get to me on 8-tracks. I'm just speaking about my generation now, okay? For years and years, this is how we listened to music. By the time I was in college, cassette tapes were more than a bit passé. My college career was in the CD era. And the thing about CDs, and I'm going to assume that more of us know what a CD is, not all of us, but more of us know what a CD is. CDs, I like most people my age, had a big collection of CDs when I was in college. And so if I was at home, or if I was at school in my dorm room, or if I was at work, if I was somewhere with a CD player, I could listen to my music. And that's typically how I listened to my music. How many of you remember the Discman with all the pack about this thick that you had to put all your CDs in? And it's like, look, it's this thick, it weighs like a brick, and I've got like over 100 songs in here. You know, that was a pretty big deal back then, right? But being a college student and being on a college student's budget, my car did not have a CD player in it, thus the mixtape. If I was gonna go on a trip, like if I was going to and from college, and I was going to be on the road for 4 or 5 hours, I wanted to be able to listen to my music, but I didn't have a CD player in my car, so I would make a mixtape. And again, for those of you who aren't familiar, you could record your CD music onto these. This is awesome, because my car had a tape deck. But you had to do it in real time. There was no clicking and downloading. You had to do it in real time. How many of us that made a mixtape remember what it is to get to about 3 or 4 minutes before the end of the tape on one side? Now you're looking for a song that will fit exactly in the time that's left over. I mean, you could spend days trying to make a mixtape. This was not about making a playlist and clicking download. Making one mixtape was a project that could take days and days and days to collect the music and get it on there just right so it fit exactly on the finite side of the tape. So in my car when I was in college, I had 4 or 5 mixtapes that I had made that had my favorite songs on them. And as I said, when I travel back and forth to the university, or if I'd go on a trip somewhere else, when I was going to be in and out of different radio signals, I'd put my mixtapes in. And to this day, when I hear one of those, you know, 2 or 3 dozen songs that were on those mixtapes, when I hear just one of them, I remember, it feels like I'm on that journey again. I can tell you which song was next on the, because it always went in the same order on a cassette tape. There's no shuffle on a cassette tape, right? I can tell you which song was next. I miss my mixtapes. And so after service, if you want to go outside and touch this cassette, you could do it. I'll let you do it. That'll be exciting for you. All right, there it is. In ancient Israel, there wasn't a place to worship in every town. There wasn't a church or a house of worship on every corner. In the days of the ancient kings of Israel, there was only one place where you could go to worship, and that was in Jerusalem at the temple. And Jewish scripture required that every male visit the temple for worship at least 3 times a year at the 3 big feasts. But for many living in the countryside, those 3 occurrences would have been the only 3 times a year that they made their way into Jerusalem, which means it would have been the only 3 times a year that they were in the house of the Lord with their fellow worshipers. It was the only 3 times that they were together. And that means that for many men in ancient Israel, you would go months in between opportunities to worship in person, just as we have gone months in between our last opportunity to worship in person. And for women and children, to the degree that they even participated in the worship service, it could go even longer than that. Many of you also know that the ancient Jews had a collection of 150 religious songs. The lyrics to those songs appear in our Bibles as the Book of Psalms. And I think of the Psalms as their CD collection. They had these memorized. They could sing them at work. They could sing them at home. They could sing them out in the fields as they were farming. They could sing them in the temple, in their worship service in Jerusalem. They could sing them wherever they wanted to sing them. But among those 150 songs, there were 15 in our Bible that are specifically titled the Psalms of Ascents. And the Psalms of Ascents were kind of like their mixtape. The Psalms of Ascents were the 15 songs that they designated specifically for the road trip to Jerusalem. So on their journey to Jerusalem, it was those 15 songs that they would use. And they were called the Psalms of Ascents because Jerusalem was at a higher elevation than most of the surrounding countryside. So that journey was literally one of just kind of gradually ascending up toward Mount Zion. And as they did so, they reserved those 15 songs as the road trip songs. They were the songs used specifically for that journey. They are the songs that our spiritual forefathers used when they were coming back together. And today we are coming back together. And so I think for the next few weeks, it would be perfect for us to learn from the music that our spiritual forefathers used as they came back together. And so today I'm going to preach to you from a psalm that has been on my heart since the middle of March. Psalm 122. We don't have the music, of course, to these. We don't know what they would have sounded like, but we have the lyrics. Psalm 122 begins this way. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Did you hear that? I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The song tells the story about how months and months and months had gone by, and then somebody said, "You know what? I looked at my calendar today, and guess what? It's time to go back to worship." And when that news came, there was rejoicing. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And then it says, "Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." I wonder if among those 15 songs on their mixtape, I wonder if maybe this one was the last one. I wonder if maybe this one was the last one. Parenthetically, on my mixtape, the last song was Queen, "The Show Must Go On." Show must go on. Some of you are praying for my salvation right now. Some of you are saying amen. Amen. I wonder if this was their last song. "Our feet are standing in your gates." I rejoiced when the announcement was made. It's time to go back to church. But now our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. It's like they're saying, "We're finally here." And for those who are with us in person today, I've heard you express already so many times, "We're finally here." Do you remember that sensation of going on vacation? I think for me, especially as a kid, the excitement, you know, going on vacation as a grown-up is still a fun thing, but it's a lot more work. But as a kid, that, you know, I used to roll out of bed early in the morning. My parents would drag me out of bed. I was a late sleeper. They'd throw me in the back of the station wagon, and that was it. That was all I had to do to get ready for vacation. Do you remember the long journey? Maybe it's a flight, and that feeling after a long day of flying when you finally, and for the first time, your bare feet are in the sand. We are standing in the gates, Jerusalem. How about as a kid, that feeling after that long car ride over the river and through the woods, and you finally are standing inside Grandma's front door? Can you smell it? It smells a little different at Grandma's house, doesn't it? It feels a little bit different. The air is a little bit different. Her carpeting is weird. But it feels good, doesn't it? We haven't been here in months or months. We haven't been here in a year or two or three or four. I rejoice when Mom and Dad woke me up and said, "Get in the car. It's time to go." And now my feet are finally standing in the gates where I long to be. Church, coming back together is a time to celebrate.
Amen.
Coming back together is a time to celebrate. It's clear that the invitation to worship was something that these travelers looked forward to. And in no small part, don't sleep on this, in no small part because it was a time for them to come back together again. So from private homes scattered throughout villages, throughout the entire countryside, they would come together and they would be reminded of who they were as a people. This is the people of God. They would be reminded as they came back together of who they were as a people. Their celebration was driven by their togetherness. I want to point this out. The verses we read didn't say that they were rejoicing because it was time to go to Jerusalem. It didn't say, "I rejoiced when they said to me, it's time to go to the house of the Lord." It says, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, it's time to go to the house of the Lord." One of the things that I'm going to remember most about this season is how it's made me long for things that used to be ordinary and mundane and simple. And I know I'm not the only one. Just the other day, I had to run out and get some groceries, and Tyler and I were the only ones at home. I said to Tyler, do you want to go with me? Tyler's usually not one to go on a grocery shopping escapade. That's usually not his jam. But he looked at me and said, "Yes. Yes, I do." I was a little surprised, and then it dawned on me. It was just force of habit. We haven't been taking Tyler to the grocery store. It was just force of habit to say, do you want to come with me? And then he finally, he says, Dad, I haven't been to a store in 4 months. I wonder what it's like. So I threw him in the car and we went. And lo and behold, Walmart was closed. You can't even trust Google these days. The hours of operation are all wrong. So we didn't get to go grocery shopping. Soon, boy. Soon. Okay, but we long for things that used to be ordinary. We long for things that we didn't even care about or notice. But you know what? It's not just the events that we long for. It's the people that we share those things with, isn't it? The huggers among us have been hurting. They've been looking forward, and we aren't there yet, as you know, but they've been looking forward to the day when we can actually touch each other again. I'm getting worried about Pastor Rachel. And somebody's going to have to keep their eyes on Ryan Grigsby, because serial huggers like that are having a rough time. They're not just looking forward to the events. Okay, it's nice that we're back together, but I'd like to jump on somebody and throw my arms around them. You know, these are difficult things. But even those among us who are a little more sane and not so touchy-feely, even those among us have longed for what we've missed. Chance to just watch the game with the guys, right? The impromptu jokes at the shop or in the office. You know, we're working from home, so we don't do that anymore. And yeah, the opportunity to see somebody's face below their orbital bone. Today, we're taking one step in coming back together. It's something that many of us have looked forward to for a very long time, and the Bible says it's worth celebrating. I want to keep reading this song to you, picking up where I left off in verse 3. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. You can almost picture the travelers at this point in the song, right? They're gazing up at the walls of Jerusalem. They're amazed once again at its size and scope. They've been there before, but they haven't been there in a while. They're like, oh my goodness, it looks so big. We had most of the chairs out of the sanctuary for a lot of the time you were gone because we would do small groups in greater distance here. And last week, I took all the chairs and I put them back in. Now the chairs are placed, trust me, I have a laser level. They're exactly where they used to be. But I put them in here, and every one of our staff members looked at them and said, well, that seems a lot closer together than they used to be, right? Because we're sensitive to that sort of thing right now. You've seen it before, but if you haven't seen it for a while, it just looks different. Oh my goodness, look at Jerusalem. Jerusalem's really built like a city closely compacted together. The city, during these times of festival, it would overflow with pilgrims, with travelers, with worshipers who had come. And everybody was arrived, and it was packed to the brim, a city closely compacted together. And even though those travelers lived, their homes were in tribal regions, right? So if you were from the tribe of Gad, all your neighbors were from the tribe of Gad. And if you were from the tribe of Asher, all your neighbors were from the tribe of Asher. But when they arrived in Jerusalem, they'd see people from all the other tribes. And that's what they're singing about. Look at this city. Everybody's together. And I see people from every one of the other tribes. There's somebody from Dan. There's somebody from Reuben. There's somebody from Simeon. I'm seeing people from places that I haven't seen before. And not just the other tribes. The Bible tells us in the New Testament there would be people from all over the known world. Do you remember the story of Pentecost? In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and the followers of Jesus, that occurred during one of these festivals where the city was filled. And as they go pouring out in the streets to tell the story of Jesus, Acts chapter 2, verse 9 says they encountered Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, cats and dogs living together. Thank you. A lot of people from a lot of different places. You could give me a map, and I probably couldn't find half of those now, but those were the places they knew in the world. A vivid picture. The celebration means all God's people are called to come back together. Emphasis all there. All God's people are called to come back together. The worshipers on the streets of Jerusalem sang this song that we're reading today to remind themselves that when they arrived, they were going to find people different than them. When we get there, it's not just going to be our tribe. like the rest of the days of our lives. When we get there, all the tribes are going to come together. They were going to find people from different places with different stories, with different perspectives on life. They were going to find people who didn't like the local food or weren't used to the weather in Jerusalem. They were going to find people who didn't speak the same language. Remember Pentecost? Or maybe they spoke it, but they spoke it with a goofy accent. But they were all still God's people. Somewhere near you in this sanctuary today is somebody who voted for that politician that you can't stand. Somewhere near you in this sanctuary today is somebody who thinks that wearing masks is a joke. Somewhere near you is somebody who thinks that the only way to beat this virus is if we go on total lockdown. Someone near you today thinks that, or somewhere near you, there's somebody who spends time every night watching that news channel that you hate. Somewhere near you today is somebody who doesn't see or doesn't understand or maybe just doesn't agree with the very thing that is most important to you about the state of the world today. And in the world out there, those are the things that drive people apart. But in here, in God's house, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. The call to worship that brought me here today is the same as the call that brought you. The same God called us both. And when we answer that call faithfully, we look around and all we see are brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
All we see are brothers and sisters. This is God's city. This is God's house when we're gathered, right? And all the tribes come together, closely compacted. Okay, these days, 6 feet. But you get it, right? Closely compacted together. And some of them are different than others. That's part of the song that needed to be sung on the way to worship when you hadn't been there in a little while. Let's remind ourselves. This is going to be a little bit different. Let's read the rest of the song. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. And that's the end of the song. Now, I have heard these verses, maybe you have as well. I've heard these verses referenced many times as kind of the biblical warrant for Christians today to pray for national Israel, to support national Israel in the world today, and especially for the security of Jerusalem. These verses have been cited in political circles as the reason that we should maintain a pro-Israel position on foreign affairs. And while I think it is definitely a good idea to pray and campaign for peace around the world and including in Jerusalem in today's world, I hope that having heard the whole song, we can actually hear these words in the context of some travelers who were going back to come back together to worship. This song is being sung by people who know they're going to be reunited with fellow worshipers that they haven't seen in a long time. And in the previous stanzas, we just said the lyrics of the song acknowledge that the collection of worshipers is going to be broad. It's going to be diverse. And people of all kinds would be in the place of worship, united by a common faith. And with that in mind, the travelers on their way to Jerusalem finish their song by praying for peace and blessing, not on some foreign distant city, but to the very place they're coming back together. To the very place they are coming back together. Pray for the peace of the very place that we and our other worshipers are gathering. As we come back together, our prayer is for peace within our own walls. Our prayer is for peace within our own walls. Folks, church is hard. Church is hard. Citizenship in the kingdom of heaven is advanced level citizenship. The world has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, especially in the last 4 months, that they don't know how to live at peace with each other. They have proven that differences can only drive them apart. But here, we must do better. We must do better. We live our lives in a world that worships at the idol of individual freedom. The gods of this world teach us to say, I get to do what I want to do, what's best for me, and you can't change my mind. But as we come back together, we need to let God's word remind us that the central call of the gospel isn't about which rights or prerogatives to hang on to. The gospel is all about which ones we get to lay down in loving submission one to another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And folks, that's how the church flourishes. That's how this thing was designed to work. That's how the church prospers. That's how the church prospers. When we each endeavor to put the interests of our brothers and sisters above our own preferences. When we overlook personal comforts or conveniences in deference to what works best for our fellow worshipers. I want to repeat the lines of that song. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of my family, right? For the sake of my brothers and sisters, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. HRCC, as we come back together, our prayerful song should be one that calls forth peace and prosperity for our brothers and our sisters, for the ones that we've been separated from for week upon week upon week, for the ones whose spiritual health and well-being is so closely tied to our own. Do we remember that? Do we remember that? Our spiritual health and well-being is so connected here in God's house. And for the ones that God gathered us with in order to do the work of salvation. You've heard me say this in many different ways, at many different times, in many different sermons through the years. If you're here today, it's no accident. It's no accident. And I hate to burst your bubble, but you didn't show up because you thought it would be a good idea. You came here today because the Spirit of God called you into his presence. He gathered you. He gathered you. And he didn't gather you alone. He gathered you with a people. He gathered you with a people. May there be peace in our midst. And may the Lord prosper us in his house. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship leaders to come back to the stage. I'm going to say a prayer. And then we're going to conclude today's service by singing together one more time. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of gathering. May your blessing be upon those who are with us in person today and those who are gathered with us digitally. It is your Spirit who has called us together. And Lord, in accordance with your word right now, I pray that your peace would be upon each one. I pray peace be upon you to my brothers and sisters today. Lord, we ask that your prosperity would be known in this place. Father, we don't use that word in reference to our checking account. But we ask it, Lord, in reference to the fruit that your Spirit is producing within us. May we be a people who prosper 100 times over because we have submitted ourselves to your Spirit and to one another. Oh, how I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to God's house today. Oh, how we celebrated when we knew we would have this opportunity today. Open our eyes to see what you see. Open our ears to hear what you're saying to us. and receive our praise even as you bless us today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Would you stand, please? Peace and blessing be upon you as you dismiss yourself to the parking lot. Go with us.